You're listening to The Lyric Feature on RTE Lyric FM.
On this week's Lyric Feature, our very own world first, the premiere broadcast of Lament for Art O'Leary by composer Irene Buckley. The work is a contemporary setting of Vona Gruach's translation of the 18th century work by Eileen Dúfni Chonaill, Cuíne Art Iléire. And we'll hear it in a little bit. But first, in this short documentary, Claire Cunningham gives the background to the poem and how this new recording came about.
On an April morning in 2024, in Studio One in the Radio Centre in Donnybrook, members of the RTE Concert Orchestra are tuning up. They're getting ready to make the first ever full recording of a brand new opera, Lament for Art O'Leary. We could start the story of this recording around 18 months ago, when RTE Lyric FM producer Owen O'Kelly first heard about the new opera and decided to make this recording happen. Or perhaps we should start the story earlier, back in 2010, when the composer Irene Buckley and the poet Vona Gruach first met. But really, we need to start even earlier again, over 250 years ago, when the poem Cuíne Art Iléire was first composed.
The people associated with Cuíne Art Iléire are Eileen Dúfni Chonaill and her husband, Art O'Leary, who is dead at the time of the poem's making.
Angela Burke is Professor Emerita of Irish Language Studies at UCD.
He died on the 4th of May, 1773, in a place called Carriganimme, which is in the hills north of Macroom in County Cork. He was shot dead. He had been a soldier, an officer, in the Austrian army of Empress Maria Theresa. He was a sophisticated man who had come from that area near Macroom, and as many young men of his generation did, went off to fight in a Catholic army on the continent because all their prospects of advancement were blocked in Ireland. He came back. He met a young widow.
That young widow was from a well-known Kerry family.
She's known in Irish as Eileen Dúfni Chonaill, in fact, an aunt of Daniel O'Connell of Derrynane House. She had grown up in that house when it was a more modest, but nevertheless an important house right on the Kerry coast. Her mother was a noted, what would you say, a chatelaine, the great lady of the traditional Irish noble house, who could keep her servants in line with rhymed couplets. So that's part of Eileen's heritage, is her mother's quick wit, high social status, fluency in Irish, and ability to make verses, to compose rhymed couplets.
The opening lines of the poem, Cuíne Art Iléire, describe the couple's first meeting.
These are the very famous first lines, and my Irish is not the Irish of West Cork, but it's Magraga Danganto, La Da Wakahu, Ekansi and Waraga, Hug Mahul Aragwitz, Hug Mahri Tanivitz, Daily Sum Haridlat, Awada Walilat, which is my love forever, the day I saw you at the market house gable. My eye took note of you, my heart delighted in you. I ran from my relatives with you, away from home with you.
Every good tragedy needs a villain, and ours is Abraham Morris, High Sheriff of Macroom.
Morris was very envious of Art's magnificent thoroughbred mare and had tried to invoke the penal law that said no Catholic could own a horse worth more than £5 by offering £5 for this horse, which Art, of course, being a headstrong young man, refused. But then there was an incident when Art went to Morris's house and it was said had threatened him and had wounded his servant. Art was then, on Morris's word, was outlawed.
Art O'Leary's days were numbered.
Morris had been able to enlist a party of soldiers to protect him against this nefarious outlaw. And of course, protecting him entailed getting somebody to shoot Art dead.
My Art, I wouldn't give the time of day to rumour of your death until that selfsame mare of yours came to me with her bridle awry, her withers smattered with your heart's damson, and the polished saddle where I last saw you bolt upright, lopsided and bereft. My first spurt took me clean over your side of the bed. The second got me to the gate, the third up on her back. I slapped my hands to set her going, and she took off at a heedless pace that didn't spill one second until she carried me to the single furze where your dear body slumped. No priest was on hand to whisper prayers, no monk to sing your praises, only a dry-eyed, sorry old woman to throw a bare coat over you. Art O'Leary, I knelt down beside you. I plunged my two fists in your spilled blood and sucked from my useless fingers.
Poet Fiona Grogg reading her version in English of the dramatic moments in the poem when Eileen discovers her husband's dead body. Fiona first came across the poem the same way that so many Irish people did.
I came across it in school, studied it, and then forgot about it for years and years.
In the early 2000s, after she had already published a number of collections of her own poetry, Fiona received an interesting proposal.
The idea of translating the Chuí Ní Ardh Éire was suggested to me, and I thought this wasn't really something that I could do because I don't have good enough Irish, and I certainly don't have good enough 18th century Irish. And then, I don't know, something kind of wormed away at me, and I began to think about it, and I got hold of all the English versions of it that I could, and I laid them all out on a table, and I thought, well, what's missing here really is a woman's voice, because the only woman who had made a version of it up to then was Eilish Dillon, and she isn't a poet. And I thought maybe there is actually room for me to make a version of it, as long as I don't call it a translation and as long as I don't pretend that what I'm doing is faithfully translating the original Irish. But if I fess up and say I can't, I'm not in a position to do that, but what I can do is, if you like, translate all the English versions into a contemporary Irish woman poet's voice.
The challenges of writing a version of the poem in English begin right at the start with the opening words, McGraw Gudangantu.
Well, literally it means my steadfast love. So that's what a lot of people go for, my steadfast love or my steadfast darling or my darling or something like that. But that sounds kind of high-pitched in English. And so I decided that I would try and come up with something that harnesses the sentiment of my steadfast darling, but in words that are much more used, I suppose, in contemporary English. And so I came up with the word husband. Husband, when you stood out that market day, my eyes settled on you. I knew I would have you if it meant stepping out of my whole life, carrying nothing with me. Not that that mattered anyway. You led me through rooms that whitened as we walked, had a blaze of comfort stoked for me whenever I desired. You shook out your house for me, had bedrooms chastened and kitchens stacked. You had mackerel hooked for me, lambs fattened on silky grass for me, loaves shaped like the sun and moon for me, and women on hand to see to it all, to pour and knead and clean. All I had to do was turn over in my hand-spun nets of sleep.
We've been talking about the Cuíne as a written poem, but its origins lie in an earlier oral tradition. We can get an idea of how it sounded from this rare recording made in 1951 by the American ethnomusicologist Alan Lomax, when he recorded Donegal woman Kitty Gallagher performing Keen for a Dead Child. And this brings us to the question of who actually composed the original version of The Lament for Art O'Leary.
The voice of the poem purports to be that of Eileen, and probably some of it is, because if there had not been an occasion in which she publicly lamented her husband, there wouldn't be a Cuíne in oral tradition called Cuíne Ardhi Oléire, Eileen Dubh Ní Chonaill's Lament for Her Husband.
But there's also the contribution of the traditional keeners, who in the early decades, before it had ever been written down, ensured that the poem would not be forgotten.
I think we have to credit, particularly Norrie Singleton, from whom two versions, it seems, were written. And we have to credit other people all down the chain of transmission. But we also have to credit people way before Eileen's time who had made laments.
After existing for several decades only in oral form, the poem was eventually written down and later published at the end of the 19th century by a member of the O'Connell family. But what is generally considered to be the standard version of the poem dates back to the early 1960s.
The poem that we call Queen Artialeira, in its standard edition in Irish by Professor Sean O'Thoma, the late Sean O'Thoma of Cork, has about 400 lines. And that is an edited version, according to his understanding of the poem and its contexts. And that edition then became the foundation for a lot of the modern translations, with modern poets shaking it and looking hard at it to see how they want to respond to this text as it's given.
Which brings us back to the poet Vona Grorke and a chance meeting in Paris with the composer Irene Buckley. Je ne veux pas travailler. Je ne veux
I first met Irene Buckley in 2010 when we were both the lucky recipients of bursaries at the Cultural Centre in Paris, the Centre Culturel Irlandais, and they run these little bursaries for people in different disciplines.
I immediately fell in love with her work and we became good friends. And we kept in touch over the years. And at that time, we decided we would love to work together on something, but we didn't know what that would be.
Not long afterwards, the germ of an idea presented itself to Irene.
I was browsing through my friend's bookshop in Kinsale, in my hometown, and I came across The Lament for Artillery.
So I had published this with Gallery Press just 2 years previous to the residency in Paris. And so it was still fresh in my mind. And because Irene is from Cork, I suppose she knows the poem very well.
I imagined that I would use her text for a choral piece. And then I thought that the most interesting way to deliver this would be an opera. I hadn't written an opera before, so it felt quite daunting, but it felt very dramatic. It felt very emotional. It suited the genre of opera, I felt.
Irene focused on the grief expressed in the lament.
I worked with an amazing director, Sophie Motley, and we discussed different ways to express this grief, and we looked at the five stages of grief, and that was a really interesting and useful way to structure the opera. So we have the opening, which is denial, and then there's anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance.
The opera began life as a relatively modest project.
Began as a solo vocal part with electronics and two string players. And we performed a sharing of that at the Midsummer Festival. In 2020, we were supposed to perform it in the Everyman in Cork.
And it was all going to kick off in May of 2020. And of course, that didn't happen.
Large public gatherings are cancelled. All pubs and bars are shut. And we've asked people to curtail or cancel.
So the music has kind of been sitting there waiting. And both Irene and myself have been sitting there waiting and hoping.
After nearly 2.5 years of waiting and hoping, the proposal arose to record the opera for RTE Lyric FM. Producer Owen O'Kelly was immediately drawn to the idea.
For me, there's something very powerful and visceral and raw in the original poem, in the many translations and in the many different versions that have come out over the years. So we get, you know, we get Thomas Kinsella coming out with the translation of it, or you get Dirin Ní Gcriafa coming out with her version of it in A Ghost in the Throat. Here it was again, notes on a page, as yet unheard, the same story, ready to be retold and crucially ready to be performed, which returns the poem to its origin, really, as a performance.
Owen set about involving the RTE Concert Orchestra in the proposed new recording of the opera. Finally, on an April morning in 2024, in Studio One of the RTE Radio Centre in Donnybrook, the first ever full recording of Irene Buckley's opera Lament for Art O'Leary, with text by Bun O'Gorke, is being made.
Today's recording is actually the culmination of a really long, maybe 18 months process, some of which is actually quite boring, so I won't go into the details of it here, but there's a lot of work involved, obviously, in getting buy-in from different people, including the composer, of course, the poet, the publishers, the people in RTE, various other people that all had to be convinced that this is something that absolutely should be done. And also there's just very basic logistics of getting everybody into the room at the same time. So it's great to have reached the point where we have the RTE Concert Orchestra. We have singers from Chamber Choir Ireland. We have our two brilliant soloists, Emma Nash and Kim Sheehan, conductor Gavin Maloney, the sound engineers, Gar Duffy, behind the scenes. And to make sure everything goes smoothly, we have the recording producer, Leisha O'Brien.
Lots of really good stuff in there, Gavin. Yeah, very happy with the orchestra. Nothing jumping out at me there.
I'm Leisha O'Brien and I am the recording producer on the recording today. I would talk in advance with all the parties involved and have a chat with the engineers, have a chat with the composer, have a chat with maybe the conductor or some of the musicians. So there's a lot of pre-planning goes into a recording.
Can I ask you, in 318, mm-hmm. So when they have art, is art... what would you like?
And then when I come in to the session, I'm basically here in the control room listening out for all kinds of things in the recording and making sure, first of all, that we have everything. And I suppose I'm an external pair of ears, really.
OK, let's record. We're back to G, please, letter G.
I'm Gavin Maloney and I'm Associate Principal Conductor with the RTE Concert Orchestra. So we have wonderful, wonderful singers from Chamber Choir Ireland and the musicians from the RTE Concert Orchestra. And my job is to coordinate them and to put it all together. The way Irene has scored it is very unique, very special. All soprano and alto voices, they reach into the heavens. They have to sing so high. It's an absolutely sublime sound.
Thank you, everyone. Let's do another one.
My name is Emma Nash, and I'm a soprano, and I'm singing the role of Eileen Dove. You know, the music is quite tricky. It's quite high-lying. It's very emotional, you know, the words and the text are very dark. Trying to portray that without it maybe creeping into the voice too much and letting it affect my singing, that emotion, that's where you've to find that balance.
Yeah, it sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah.
My name is Kim Sheehan. I'm singing the role of Catherine. I am the sister of Art O'Leary. It's so wonderful to hear people take our history and folklore and bring it to music. And it gives us as singers, particularly me, an opportunity to let your Irishness come through in your singing. And it's not very often we get to do that.
This new opera, this new work of art, would not exist without Eileen Dubhny Connell's poem Cuina Arti Lira. For over 250 years, it has inspired and continues to inspire the creation of new works of art.
A very important poem, I think, that occupies a really strong place in the Irish imagination. And we don't seem to want to set it aside in any respect at all. We seem to want to keep thinking about it, to keep going into it, to keep making a home for it in contemporary English and in contemporary culture.
Thank you.
Everybody happy in here?
Yeah.
Are you happy out there?
Is everybody happy? Thank you, Alicia. Thank you, Emma and Kim. Well done.
That short documentary, Lament for Art O'Leary, was presented and produced by Claire Cunningham and the Lyric Feature production team. And here is Irene Buckley's Lament for Art O'Leary, as recorded in Studio One in the RTE Radio Centre. It's performed by a chorus of singers from Chamber Choir Ireland, the RTE Concert Orchestra. The soloists are the sopranos Emma Nash and Kim Sheehan, with electronic elements by the composer herself, all conducted by Gavin Maloney. Lament for Art O'Leary.
Honest, you treacherous lout. You have left me fatherless children. Though them alone in this world. And one still kicking inside me. I feel we'll never breathe his name.
Have taken my husband from me. You have taken my brother from me. dear friends of the famed O'Leary clan, of headstrong, peerless Art, who was my loving and doting husband, until the verge of the road and his enemies undid him, neither of which cared so much as a whit for all that he was generous and handsome and so brave. But to all of you weeping, I say, wait and see. Art O'Leary will be along any minute. He'll call for a drink to drown thirst and sorrow, pay for it with his own money, and then take himself off to the shadow school to lie down with clay and stones and bones in an overcome abbey. My love, my husband, your corn may thrive, but your cows need milking, and your children are calling for you. Rise up now.
Lament for Art O'Leary was composed by Irene Buckley, with the libretto taken from Fiona Gourke's translation of the original 18th century Cuina Art Ilera by Eileen Dovny Connell. It was performed by the RTE Concert Orchestra, Chamber Choir Ireland, sopranos Emma Nash and Kim Sheehan. The conductor was Gavin Maloney, and the electronic elements in the score were from the composer Irene Buckley. The sound supervisors were Gar Duffy and Tommy O'Sullivan, and the recording producer was Leisha O'Brien. Sound mixing was by Gar Duffy, and the executive producer was Owen O'Kelly. Fiona Gourke's text appears by permission of the poet and her publisher, Gallery Press. You can listen back to that programme on the Lyric Feature website, and you can podcast the documentary that preceded it from your platform of choice. On next week's Lyric Feature, Mike Glennon on an iconic Irish album that turns 40 next year. A Dream of Foreign Lands tells the story of the Pogues, rum, sodomy and the lash. That's our Lyric Feature next Sunday at 6 p.m. Next up this evening, John Kelly's Mystery Train.
You're listening to the Lyric Feature on RTE Lyric FM.